Laura Hildenbrand's best-selling book, Unbroken, she tells the true story of a man named Louis Zamperini, whose plane went down over the South Pacific during World War II. And in the book, she tells the terrifying events that happened when Zamperini's plane was forced to make a crash landing in the ocean. Zamperini was one of the few who made it to the surface of the water, and when he arrived at the top, he discovered that he was one of only three men in his entire crew who had survived the accident. And as he and the other two men were swimming around, they providentially were able to find a life raft that was floating there among the debris of that downed plane. And so they all climbed aboard that life raft. And yet things were still very serious because they were literally hundreds of miles away from the nearest island. There was no land nearby. And so there seemed to be almost absolutely no possibility that they were going to be rescued anytime soon. And among them, they discovered that they only had a few small bottles of fresh water that were going to help them survive this incredible ordeal. And as you might imagine, within a few days of floating out there in the open sea, even this little bit of fresh water that they had run out. And when that occurred, the situation grew even more serious as severe thirst began to set in among these three survivors. Hildenbrand describes it this way in her book. She writes, "The equatorial sun lay upon these men, scalding their skin. Their upper lips burned and cracked, ballooning so dramatically that they obstructed their nostrils, while their lower lips bulged against their chins because their water cans were empty. Desperately thirsty and overheated, these men could do no more than use their hands to bail seawater over themselves, and the coolness of the ocean beckoned but could not be answered. For sharks circled around them." You know, it's an awful picture that Hildenbrand paints for us, isn't it? And as I read it, it reminded me of what extreme thirst, what extreme deprivation must really feel like. And it reminds me of what Jesus himself must have felt like as he hung there on that cross on Good Friday. Because we know by the time he was finally there on the cross, he'd already been beaten. He'd already been whipped. He'd already been flogged mercilessly by the guards who had surrounded him and mocked him. And they had hammered brutally into his hands and his feet thick nails. As you can imagine, that experience must have left Jesus extremely dehydrated, as his blood and other bodily fluids were simply gushing out of his body, leaving him in a state of incredible physical agony. And you can only imagine that his agony was multiplied as the blazing Middle Eastern sun surely beat down upon him as he hung there on that cross, hour after awful hour, during that gruesome Friday afternoon. You see, Jesus was in tremendous agony, wasn't he? And in particular, he was suffering from intense thirst, which, if you think about it, is very ironic, isn't it? Because after all, who is Jesus? Who is he? He's the Son of God, right? He's the second person of the Trinity. He was there when the entire world was brought into existence. So he is the one who's responsible for creating water itself. And yet, here he is on the cross. And not only did he create water, but we learned earlier in the Gospel of John that he spoke to us about a living water that he possessed that would never run out. You may remember the story in John chapter 4 where Jesus met a Samaritan woman by a well, and he had said to her, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so that's what makes the situation here in John 19 so puzzling, so strange, so odd. Because what do we see here? We see Jesus, the one who created water itself, the one who spoke of living water that would never run out. And where is he now? He's hanging on a cross, isn't he? Literally dying of thirst. Now that's pretty ironic, isn't it? It's ironic, but it's not accidental. It's not accidental. Because what John tells us here in the gospel is that this was incredibly deliberate. He tells us in verse 28 that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And even though it appeared as though the world was crashing in on him, Jesus was still in control. And Jesus knew that everything that was happening here was happening for a very specific reason. Jesus knew that all of this was being done to fulfill and to complete His mission in life. A mission that had been foretold in the Scriptures many, many years before. Because you see, this wasn't bad luck. No, you see, this was all part of Jesus' master plan. And yet, what's fascinating is, as intense as this physical agony surely was, it was only compounded by the intense emotional and spiritual agony He must have been feeling as well. For what the other gospel writers reveal is that this moment that we read about here in John 19, where Jesus cries out, "I thirst," comes right on the heels of Jesus' famous prayer, where He had prayed and cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Why have You forsaken Me?" And when we remember that, it reminds us that what's going on in here in Jesus' body is simply a mirror for what is also going on within His soul. Because not only is Jesus experiencing deep bodily pain, but He's undergoing intense spiritual anguish as well. And that's why He cried out, "I am thirsty," in both body and soul. But something interesting happens next. Someone nearby, perhaps a Roman soldier, had heard Jesus' cry for help, and they came to Him to offer Him some wine vinegar. Now, this wine was different than the wine that had been offered to Him earlier in the day when He had been on His way to Golgotha to be crucified. That earlier wine had been a sedative that had been designed to dull the agony that Jesus was about to experience, and Jesus had refused to drink it because He was determined to embrace the full extent of the suffering which lay before Him. But the wine that's mentioned here in John 19 is very different. It was a sour wine. It was favored by the Roman soldiers because it was much cheaper than ordinary wine. And instead of acting like a sedative, this sour wine, this wine vinegar, would actually prolong His life and therefore prolong Jesus' pain. But we see that Jesus tasted it anyway. And as He did, not only did this help to alleviate some of His thirst, but it also fulfilled the Scriptures, which tell us back in Psalm 69, as David had cried out, "Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. I looked for comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." So you see here on the cross, Jesus was taking David's cry of dereliction, his song of abandonment, and Jesus was making it His own. Jesus was revealing to us that this psalm found its ultimate fulfillment in His own agony on the cross, as Jesus experienced deep thirst in both His body as well as His soul, as the shame and the scorn and physical deprivation of that moment bore down upon Him. Now, what's interesting is this is only one brief moment in the horror of that awful day, but what it does reveal is something very, very important about Jesus. And the first thing that it reveals is that Jesus really does share our humanity, doesn't He? He's not just pretending to be like us or play-acting like He is a human being. No, what we see here in John 19 is that Jesus has truly embraced our human condition. And when He does so, He does it in every possible sense. Meaning that Jesus truly went through all the same kinds of trials and tribulations that you and I have to go through every day. Jesus, in the course of His life, lost loved ones. He was betrayed by close friends, and we even see here that He had to experience incredible physical pain and suffering in His life. Because that's exactly what we see in John 19, isn't it? We see Jesus is incredibly thirsty. His lips really are parched, and He really is crying out for some kind of relief. Folks, this is no sort of charade. This is the real deal. Jesus had truly become one of us. As the writer of Hebrews would later put it, Jesus was made like us in every possible way. And do you know Jesus did that intentionally? He did that intentionally. Because the reason why Jesus entered into our agony was in order to relieve our agony. He took upon Himself our humanity so that He might redeem our humanity. And the way Jesus did that was by taking upon Himself the very punishment that we ourselves deserved. And we see this in one very small but very significant detail that John mentions for us in this account. Because you see, when Jesus was offered this wine vinegar, it says that it was presented to him on the stalk of a hyssop plant. And this brief mention of hyssop is surely intentional, because I believe John is trying to get us to see the link between the cross and the events of the Passover. You see, way back in the book of Exodus, during that very first Passover, as the lambs were being slaughtered, Moses had instructed the people to take a bunch of hyssop, it says, and to dip the blood of the lamb and to place that blood on the tops and both sides of the door frames. Because this blood of a substitute, would then protect and save them from God's holy wrath against sin. And what we see here in John 19, we see that hyssop is being mentioned once again during yet another Passover feast, as yet another substitute is being sacrificed for God's people. And that reminds us what's really going on at the cross. Because you see, on the cross, Jesus was becoming our Passover lamb. On the cross, Jesus was becoming our substitute in order to rescue us from God's holy wrath and to restore our broken relationship with the Lord. And do you know why he did that? Do you know why he did that for us? He did it because he knows that each of us are just like that woman that he met long ago at that well in Samaria, back in John chapter 4. Jesus knows that each of us are just as lost, just as confused, and just as thirsty inside. And Jesus knows that we are craving the living water that only he can provide. And you see, that's why Jesus became thirsty. That's why he endured all this agony. That's why he suffered so much on the cross. Jesus, you see, became thirsty so that we would never have to thirst again. That's the good news of the cross. That's the good news of Good Friday. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.